Rita Kadamian had an emergency at work. Jeannie Sanchez Bell is working. Linda Weiss is on vacation, and Dr. Gerlach is on a mission trip. So, and Dr. Regner, I know sometimes she comes late, so. So if anybody wants to take over the meeting.
Channel data.
Okay.
We can start a meeting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we have present, we have presenters here, so.
Yes.
Just can't vote.
Just can't vote.
And that's fine. We'll just pass on the minutes. Any public comments? No chairman's comments. Go to five, presentation of medically assisted treatment services. Amanda?
Is it okay if we rotate a little bit, because those two tag team?
Sure.
I can go first? Okay. Okay.
Pam's got her stuff loaded.
All right.
Okay.
My name is Pam Halbach. I'm with the Kenosha Community Action Agency, the Kenosha Director and the WIC Director there. And today I'm just going to highlight the WIC program, which is a nutrition program for pregnant women, new moms, infants, and children up to age 5. And then we also get some additional funding through WIC to provide additional programs like the Farmer Market Nutrition Program, where families can go to the local farmer markets to purchase locally grown fresh fruits and vegetables, and a breastfeeding peer counseling program to support our moms with breastfeeding. And then I'm just going to touch on two of the grants that we have currently going on right now to support our families and the community. So the WIC highlights this year, we averaged about 3,940 WIC participants per month. WIC statewide, locally, and nationally has seen a decline in the last, about the last year and a half, too. So there's different initiatives underway to see what some of the potential reasons for that would be. We switched over to eWIC during that time too, and we had seen a decline with that as other projects statewide who had done that also, and now we're starting to see those numbers rise again. We actually piloted for the state a WIC app that makes the shopping even easier in the grocery store for families too, so they can download the app on their phone, their benefits are loaded right on there, and there's like a scanner on it too, so they can scan the different barcodes to see if the WIC food is eligible or not, so that once they get up to check out, there isn't any interruption or to find out that they can't actually purchase those foods. So that's been very popular. We started it about 3 weeks ago, and last week it just rolled out statewide. And then we have 43 WIC vendors in town here that accept the WIC food too. That's Kenosha City and Kenosha County. And every 3 years we reauthorize them. And that does include some of the pharmacies too for formulas, for specialty formulas. One of the initiatives we have that we receive funding through the National WIC Association and CDC is the Kenosha Health Improvement Project, and Tatiana Buchanan is facilitating that group. And it's a policy, system, and environmental initiative that improves access to healthy foods and strengthens community and clinical linkages. There are three different work groups. The first one is to increase the number of grocery stores with new on-site and promotional strategies for healthy foods in Kenosha County. So one of the things we do in our teaching kitchen is have families prepare very simple recipes with us that they can try then also, and then we give them the recipe. So the Pick and Saves in town, the next time you're there, take a look in their produce section. They will highlight the vegetable of the month with the one that we used the previous month that families are already familiar with. And it seems to work too, because when we did the eggplant, we were still in the farmer market season, and several of the farmer markets had said that they had noticed an increase in people wanting eggplant and too to purchase it. So that was great. And then we're also doing some work with Festival Foods. They're interested in doing a vegetable of the month too, as well as doing some cooking matters and some grocery store tours in the community. The second work group is to increase the number of farmer markets and stands that accept SNAP in the target community, which is Kenosha, and then to promote the utilization of WIC and EBT at the farmer markets too. Lorima from the Health Department and the Environmental Team is on that group too, so had done a lot to really increase the number of farmers who at the farmer markets who accept WIC too. So just this year we were able to enroll 8 new farmers in the city and 1 out in the county too. And then one of the big things too is just to really encourage the farmers then to actually display their sign saying that they accept WIC to make it easier for the families. In October, we did a scavenger hunt at the Columbus Park where each farmer picked a question and then the families went around and asked that question and learned about something of their produce. So one of the farmers said, ask me about leeks. And so he had brought 35 leeks to the market thinking he'd have plenty. Well, by 9:30, they were all sold out already because families were then willing to try them too. So we thought that was real successful. And we had 51 children that day participate in the market. This one is still in draft form too, but we're developing a prescription tool for non-pharmaceutical interventions for improved health. Betsy Smith is on that work team too. Dr. Thompson is taking the lead on this work group too. And so our focus areas are going to be on nutrition, physical activity, and mental wellness. Dominique Pritchett from the Kenosha Community Health Center is helping with that initiative too. So we'll look at piloting it in the beginning of January and seeing what we need to tweak. And we're trying to get some different rebates then too. So if one of the initiatives is to increase fruits and vegetables, that they could have some type of voucher then to go and purchase like $5 or $10 at the store for increased fruits and vegetables. So it's still quite a bit in draft form, but has great potential to really focus on health and not just the pharmaceuticals. The other initiative I wanted to talk about is the Kenosha WIC Father Involvement. It's known here as Dedicated Dads. It started through a grant several years ago through the Wisconsin Partnership Program. It was really to integrate and to make sure that we're inclusive of dads in the WIC families too. So it's really to strengthen the families through father engagement and improve the health and well-being of women, infants, children, and the entire families. And so from that planning grant, we really looked at 2 different prongs to it. The first is to increase father involvement at WIC appointments and activities, and then doing father-specific education and support. Skip right over. So these are just some slides then showing too how the dads are involved. So as they come through the appointment, then we encourage them to help us with weighing and measuring their children. If their child needs a finger poke, we encourage the dad to hold them too. And then when we're talking with them, to also participate in the nutrition and diet assessments and to set goals too on things to work on between the time we see them now and the next time. The other thing that when we did the survey was we realized how many, with the survey with dads, was how many were food insecure themselves. So we make sure at the appointments too, and we're asking about other resources they need for the family that we're including them too in that conversation. The state was very helpful too in creating brochures that we can use. So there's the one on the left really talks about how dads can support breastfeeding, and the one on the right is really talks about toddlers needing their dads also. And then we do have posters in the office too that depict dads and father involvement too. The curriculum we decided to go with was the Nurturing Fathers curriculum. It's an evidence program, 13 weeks. Each session is 2.5 hours. Last year, Charmaine Harris, who is our facilitator with that, had 106 dads complete the program. And what we're doing now is tying in with each of these weeks different components of WIC or health too. So in week 10, where it talks about co-parenting too, we also talk about supporting breastfeeding too, because we're really focusing this year on the dads of newborns. And so this is our second year in the Nurturing Fathers classes continue, and we also have a program that we have modeled after a Fit Family program where we see the families monthly with goal setting, and he's doing this coaching for first-time dads with 35 dads where he's connecting with them each month with different goals they've set. There's four areas around employment, co-parenting, parent involvement, and I think the last one was role model. And then we're also doing some training and with classes and events too. And I wanted to end just with, if I'll do that, to share a graduation video of one of the groups of dads that went through the, it's like a 3-minute video that talks about some of their impressions of the Nurturing Fathers curriculum. They started by doing the father I choose to be, and then at the end, after those 13 weeks, they also complete and talk about the father they choose to be after that. Okay, I think you have to go back.
Tonight, we come to honor a few good men
with their dedication
and the dedicated NASH program. All of these men you see here are fathers and grandparents.
Do you have it on the flash drive?
I do.
Play it directly from the flash drive. Sometimes they get disconnected from the follow-up.
Oh. Okay.
So if you have a flash drive, just play it directly for me. Yeah, just close out the PowerPoint and play it from the flash drive.
No, it's still not accepting.
Tonight,
that's still the PowerPoint.
She has the PowerPoint on the flash drive, which is what I opened.
Oh, you know what? Go ahead and go down. Go back to the.
Otherwise, I'll just give you the link to our website.
Bring this down. PowerPoint demonstration.
Oh, there, it just popped up.
It must be difficult.
It just popped up.
It must be difficult. That's okay.
Oh, it just popped up.
We come to honor a few good men for their completion in the dedicated NASH program. All of these men you see here are fathers.
It's okay, yeah.
So what I want to do starting off is give them a big round of applause.
Yeah. I can share the link to our website. Yeah. Yeah. It's okay. We thought we'd try it.
Yeah. Technology.
Yeah.
Well, just to comment, the education portion on fresh fruits and vegetables is very important.
Right.
For about 2 years now, the Shalom Center Food Pantry has been getting fresh fruits and vegetables from Heartland Produce. And when we first got it, the client assistants were really having a hard time getting the clients to pick up the fresh fruit and produce. So what they did was put out recipes, information on it, and recipes, and now that program's working fine.
Right.
You know, we're a society where you just go pick up a can off the counter and go. But ever since we've educated the clients, it's really going well.
Right. So, well, that's great.
Yeah. So thank you. Good stuff.
All right. So I think I'm next. My name is Pierre Krause. I'm a public health nurse here at the Kenosha Health Department, also team leader of MCH, Maternal Child Health and Communicable Diseases. So today I'm going to talk about our clinical services update for 2016. I'm going to mainly speak more on the Nurse of the Day clinics that we have. and we do have three clinics for those, and I'll go over those in just a moment, but they are staffed by three public health nurses and three public health techs, which are listed on the slide here. Our three locations, we do have one here at the Job Center. It's open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. We do have a wellness center that is located on the second floor at the WIC building, and they are open from Tuesday to Friday and closed on Mondays. The hours are 8:30 to 3:30 p.m., except for the second Tuesday of each month, they are open from 9:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Then the third Saturday of each month, they're also open from 9 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. And our third location is at the Kenosha County Center, which is located on Highway 45 and Highway 50, and their hours are Monday through Thursday and closed on Fridays. Mondays are 8 until 5, Tuesdays from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. and closed over the lunch hour from 12 to 1, and Wednesdays and Thursdays services are open from 7 a.m. to 12 p.m. The services that are available at all three of those locations are health education, immunization services for children and adults, pregnancy testing, walk-in birth control, which can be anywhere from oral contraceptives, the NuvaRing, Depo-Provera, and then you can also make an appointment to see our nurse practitioner that can do IUDs, which are long-lasting contraceptives, along with the Nexplanon, which is inserted into the arm. We also do blood pressure monitoring, strep throat cultures, childhood lead testing, TB skin testing, dental varnishing, which is a fluoride application that is applied to children's teeth, lab testing, which are anywhere from select blood and urine testing that we do, and also well child exams, which right now are being more done at the Wellness Center above the WIC building. Back in October of 2012, there were some changes to our vaccine for children guidelines, which was called the Section 317 federal vaccine funding. And what this did is that we were limited with giving our VFC vaccines to only those that had MA, are uninsured, underinsured, or American Indian or Alaska Native. And any child that has private insurance is to be referred to their primary care provider to receive those vaccines. Due to this change, there have been some major impacts with the vaccines that we have been giving at all three of our locations. And as you can see by the total number of immunizations given here, in 2012, we were almost at 6,000 vaccines compared to now this year. This is data as of October 31st. We've given almost 3,300 vaccines. So it's about a decrease of about 44% due to these changes that happened in 2012. For flu vaccines, there's also a decrease that has been given. Back in 2013, 800 compared to, as of October 31st for this year, about 315 flu vaccines. So it's about a 61% decrease. And that could be for, you know, there's many community partners that are also offering the flu vaccine out there. You can go into your providers. Yes, you can go into your pharmacy, you can go to Costco, Sam's Club, there's many more options that are available now for those. And just to give some numbers of services that we have done through our Nurse of the Day, for up through October of this year, is we've administered 370 TB skin tests, done 540 DNAs, 88 dental varnishing applications that have been at all three sites, 123 lead tests have been completed, 35 head checks for lice, 147 well child exams, one strep throat, 461 birth controls, and those are the depots, the oral contraceptives, and the NuvaRing, and 297 pregnancy tests have been completed. And 248 blood pressures have been taken. And we do also forensic urine collection. We've done a little over 6,000, and of those, 2,010 have been tested for alcohol, and 4,032, we've done 12 panel testing on those. And some clinical services update for 2016, is starting in February, we do have staff that go out to the Kenosha County Detention Center. And at the jail, we do offer STD testing. And then also we do, for those individuals that are interested in our Vivitrol program, which Amanda will speak shortly regarding that. But regarding the STD testing that we do, February 3rd was our first clinic that we had. And we've seen 163 clients through the detention center. 151 clients have been screened. We've had 11 positive results, 8 which were chlamydia and 3 which have been gonorrhea. And so that's about a 7% positivity rate of those that are in the jail that are asymptomatic, not having any signs or symptoms, that are harboring an STD. any questions on any of those before we go into our Vivitrol program?
All right. My name is Amanda Tura. I'm a public health nurse with Kenosha County Health Department. My co-chair, or Gianna Ventura, is not available. She's on vacation, so I was elected to present today. I'm going to talk about our medication assisted treatment program, our MAT program, our Vivitrol program. It has many names. So this is the Kenosha County epidemic, kind of just a brief overview of it. Like many other counties, Kenosha County is also seeing an increase in our overdose deaths. In 2013, we had 47 accidental toxic seizure overdoses. In 2014, 50. In 2015, there was only 44. I shouldn't say only, but it did decline. And I think primarily due to the AIDS Resource Centers giving out Narcan free of charge. And then in 2016, to date, there has been 34 individuals who have died from accidental toxicity with 24 pending cases. So we are certainly going to see an increase in overdose deaths. So with the MAT program, we utilize the drug Vivitrol. And Vivitrol is a long-acting injection, which means it's only administered once a month or every 28 days. It's important that we educate our clients that it's not a standalone treatment method. So they're not going to just come in and get the injection and then go on with their day. Vivitrol is not, you know, a magic medication that's going to cure their addiction overnight. We definitely educate that they need to engage in behavioral health counseling through, we go through PSU, Professional Services Group. Indications for Vivitrol, so reasons we give the Vivitrol is for alcohol-dependent clients and then for our opiate-dependent clients. And then we would not give Vivitrol to clients who are still actively using or currently in withdrawal, for pregnant or breastfeeding clients, and then if they were allergic to naltrexone. So how Vivitrol works, the active ingredient Vivitrol naltrexone is an opiate blocker, and it blocks the effects of opiates in the brain's reward system. So all of us have opiate receptors in our brains. Once we administer the Vivitrol to our clients, that Vivitrol latches onto that receptor site, and if they were to use opiates, they wouldn't feel that euphoric effect, or they wouldn't get that high feeling. Some common side effects of Vivitrol: nausea is a big one. I'm going to say almost all of our clients complain of nausea after their first injection, but this generally dissipates or goes away with future injections. It's just primarily with the first injection, they're nauseous for a few days. Tiredness or fatigue, headache, dizziness, decreased appetite, painful joints, muscle cramps, cold symptoms, trouble sleeping, and toothache. Some severe side effects of Vivitrol. They are going to have some injection site pain. It is a deep IM injection using a 2-inch needle, so that is to be expected. But any intense pain, that just does not go away. Any tissue that feels hard, swelling, lumps, blisters, open wounds, or dark scabs, we certainly want to be notified of any of those reactions. And so far, we haven't had any, thank goodness. Some other severe side effects. So sudden opiate withdrawal. Our clients have to be free of opiates for 7 to 10 days prior to receiving the injection. If they're not, once we give the injection, they're going to go into sudden withdrawal. So here at the health department, to protect not only the clients but also ourselves, we do a couple checks. They do provide a urine, and we do a 12-panel ETOH screen on that urine, and then we also give them, we call it a naltrexone challenge, which is just a 25-milligram naltrexone tablet. They take that. We wait 60 minutes. If they had used opiates, they're going to go into immediate withdrawal. Rescue will be called, and it'll be this big to-do. So we definitely educate on that, and our clients have been extremely honest with us because they don't want that to happen. Another severe side effect is liver damage. We monitor their liver enzymes, their ALT and AST, to make sure that it's still safe to receive the injection or receive the Vivitrol. Another severe side effect is depressed mood. A lot of our clients do complain of a bit of depression or kind of just feeling down in the dumps for the first couple of days after the injection, but this generally goes away. And we do educate that if they're having any suicidal thoughts or ideations or they have a suicidal plan, to definitely alert families, caregivers, the counselors at PSG, and then us as well. Eosinophilic pneumonia is just an infiltration of white blood cells in the lungs. We haven't had any reported cases of that, but there have been reported cases with those agencies that are utilizing Vivitrol. And then another severe side effect is anaphylaxis, which is a severe reaction. And we monitor the patient 15 minutes after the injection to make sure that they're not allergic to the naltrexone. So we work with Professional Services Group, or PSG, for our behavioral health counseling. And this is kind of a general overview of their referral process. They refer to this program as the Comprehensive Alcohol Drug Treatment Program. And their referrals come from the Kenosha County Detention Center, KCDC, and then our community clients. Through the detention center, they receive referrals through Javon Fawson, who identifies inmates that she thinks would be good candidates for this program. And then our community clients, they just call PSG. Currently, there is a waiting list, but they are put on the waiting list and hopefully will be seen in the future. So the initial encounter for PSG, information is provided on the program. The client is screened to determine if they're a candidate for the program. A multidimensional assessment is done, and this includes, you know, their substance use history, social history, family history, any medical, you know, pertinent medical history. PSG has been really great with enrolling our clients on insurance. So a lot of our clients do have state insurance prior to their first injection. Once all of this is done, they're referred to us, and we do some lab testing. And then once their lab results are reviewed by the telepsychiatrist, they receive the injection if it's appropriate and safe for them to get it. So Kenosha County Division of Health, our assessment process, we receive the referral from PSG. Our assessment includes a synopsis of the program. We do go through multiple consents. At every appointment with our clients, we do a health history questionnaire, and this just discusses their past or current history of substance use. We kind of want to know if the client has overdosed, if they did, how many times, was Narcan utilized. We want to know about their social support system, who's going to be bringing them to and from their appointments, who can they lean on for those tough days, and then their plan for treatment. And then our initial lab work includes the CMP, our comprehensive metabolic panel. We look at the liver enzymes to make sure that it's safe to give. We do a complete blood count, or our CBC. We're looking at their red and white blood cells with that. And then because we have them, and because we know this population is high-risk population, we do some STD testing while we have them there. So we do some HIV testing, syphilis, Hep B and C testing, and chlamydia and gonorrhea testing. Once we get all that lab work done, a review of their MDA, or their multidimensional assessment, is done, and their lab results are reviewed as well. And then if they're at KCDC, so if they're coming from the detention center, their release date is determined and they present directly from the detention center. The facilitator from PSG brings them directly here. We go through the whole appointment, they receive their first injection. And then with community clients, they'll come in for their labs, and once we receive their lab results, an injection date is determined with the assistance of their facilitator through PSG. So the injection appointment kind of looks like this. The client presents to clinic at the scheduled date and time. Upon presentation, a urine is provided, and we do a 12-panel E2H screen on that urine. If they're female, we want to do a pregnancy test because Vivitrol is contraindicated with pregnancy. We do that naltrexone challenge that I kind of spoke about earlier. The health history questionnaire is completed. We have an MAT or consent that's reviewed and signed by the client. With their first injection appointment, I call it Vivitrol Loot, but they get some stuff to bring home with them. They get a Vivitrol brochure just kind of outlining what Vivitrol is, although we discuss this, but you know, it's for light reading once they get home. We give them an emergency pain management card, and this is really important because if they were in an emergency situation like a car accident or they broke a limb or they required surgery, because they're on Vivitrol, opiate analgesic is not going to work. So it's important that they carry around that emergency pain management card. Or a bracelet or dog tag, just to identify that they're on Vivitrol, and then we tell the EMS or rescue or, you know, the surgeon that they're on Vivitrol, so they can give them a different medication for pain management. If the oral naltrexone challenge is determined to be negative, we give the injection, and then after that, a follow-up appointment is scheduled for lab work, if necessary, and the next injection. Lab work, we do lab work the first, second, fourth, and eighth month, really monitoring those liver enzymes. And then the injection, again, is scheduled every 28 days. This is some data that we currently have. Like Kira had said, this program began in February, and we have provided services to 57 different clients. 33 referrals from KCDC and 24 were community referrals. And of those 57, 34 clients have received injections. 11 of those clients have received 4 injections, and 6 have received up to 6 injections or more. Some future program activities, and maybe we'll talk about this a little bit more, Cindy, but with the Vivitrol program, we are working with District Attorney Mike Gravely, and we're going to start a first offender program. This is primarily for those that are currently, that get caught up, get detained because they had heroin on their person or drug paraphernalia, and it's their first offense. They'll enroll in this program. They'll enroll in this program, and they'll have to successfully complete the program. It's a 6-month program. They'll present a NOD or clinic for their injections, their lab appointments. All of their urines need to be negative. And if they successfully complete after 6 months, that charge is, you know, knocked off their record. They won't be charged with a felony. Expunged. That's the word I'm looking for. And then our naloxone distribution grant, this is a brand new grant that we just received. And with this grant, we're going to be working with community agencies, high-risk community agencies, and giving them naloxone, which is a life-saving drug for opiate overdoses. But I forgot to mention the CDC grant. We have another grant. We have an adult death review team, and many communities in Wisconsin are interested in starting an adult death review team, so we're putting together a toolkit for that. And then we're also educating providers on the PD and peer prescription drug monitoring program.
And medication collection.
And medication collection, yes. We have medication collection boxes. And we do 2 events a year with medication collection. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Other contact information? Any questions?
How much is one dose of Vivitrol? 1,000 and something?
Yes. Yes, it's about 1,100. 1,135 to be exact. But
from one pharmacy, it could be up to $1,300.
The pharmacy that we work with, we buy in bulk, which is nice, so the cost is decreased. But MA or state insurance does cover the cost of the injection, and then if the client doesn't have insurance, there is a $500 voucher that they can print up, that we print off the website, and then we put that towards the cost of the injection.
So out of the 57 clients, 11 have received 4 injections and 6 have received 6 injections. So it's a pretty good dropout rate.
Yes.
They don't make it?
Yeah,
we
have had a lot of clients.
But that's got to be expected with that type of drug population.
Yeah, I mean, this is a behavior change for these clients, right? I mean, they have to work on coming up with better coping skills, which is huge. And so a lot of them receive that first injection, but, you know, they fall into the same group of friends or those old habits, and unfortunately.
And it's really early in the program.
It is early in the program.
Yeah. I mean, some of them are just at their first or second and third injection as we speak.
Yes.
Because we just started.
Right. So the stats are accumulating.
Yeah.
It'll save lives, definitely save lives.
Absolutely. It's an exciting program. We are very fortunate.
It's a strictly volunteer program, too.
Yep, it's all volunteer.
Even with the first offender's pre-charge program, it'll still be volunteer.
Yeah.
They can choose to be charged.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, I'll just comment on this Vivitrol program. Our community is really blessed to have the ability to have this program, and we at the health department, we're very grateful that our county board of supervisors and, of course, our board of health, who fully supports this, has set aside this money this year and into next year. There are communities that have, you know, the high risk factors that we do, and they're very envious of us that we have the opportunity to try to stop these addictive behaviors. So we really are very fortunate, and I want to thank you, John, for whatever support, you know, and the county board supervisors, that they did set aside this money. And
it shows some results in the on the slide at the county board meeting, we had there were 10 successes that were back out in the field and working, being productive citizens.
Right.
So,
when you think of the cost of addiction and addictive behavior and the loss of years of life work, and I mean, it really is impactful to our community and a cost factor. So this is, you know, $325,000, although it's a lot of money, it still is a drop in the bucket in comparison to people that have addictions for decades. And that's another thing, is the clients we're seeing, the numbers, the individuals we're seeing, they have been using for decades. I mean, many of them have. These are very hardcore, and so you're not going to turn those individuals over overnight. So the ones that we have, wonderful opportunity, and you know, we're planting seeds, and hopefully they'll come back. They know that this is available, but it's a wonderful opportunity, and we have great staff that are working, and clients trust them, and that's half the battle right there. Okay, thank you. Just got a few things to say. I passed out a handout. I had mentioned at our last meeting about our Division of Health Strategic Plan, and we're starting next year. The first meeting in January will be that one-hour orientation. Dustin Young will be here from Great Horse Strategies, and he'll be orientating the board and some other partners. We've invited Pam Hallbach and some other people that are closely involved with our health department to participate in our strategic planning process. So that'll be an orientation. Everyone will hear just exactly what the process will entail. Then there will be two, possibly three meetings, retreats, lasting 4 to 6 hours. And that's a handout I gave to you. So if there are some dates that you're available, just check those boxes. I really, you know, it would be a wonderful opportunity to have Board of Health, whatever number of people. Linda Weiss is the only one that had completed the survey, and she's available on, there's two Fridays, two out of the three, so. I don't know if there's any other any dates that anyone else is available, even if you, there's like one retreat at least that you're able to attend, that would be wonderful for you to participate.
Is the retreat date?
Those dates are potential dates. For retreat one, those are potential dates, and then we were going to select of all the people that responded, the highest number of people that could attend. So I don't know if any of those dates you're able to.
How long a day is it?
4 to 6 hours, but if you can't stay the entire time, you know, you can peel off two. I guess it's just, you know, representation, or I will fully report to you, of course, on the outcomes. But it's always nice to have the participation.
They're all going to be in this building?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll have it here.
Okay.
So if you're able to, we welcome your participation. Amanda had mentioned about a new grant that we just received. We're one of three counties that were awarded $225,000 plus from the state. Sauk and Waukesha are the other two counties, and so we're going to be distributing Narcan to our agencies that work with high-risk participants. We also will be distributing these Narcan kits here through our Nurse of the Day clinics or other opportunities in order to get as much of the product out into our community. Purchasing around $75,000 worth of product out of this, maybe more, and we're going to be using the nasal spray. That's the spray is a higher dose than the auto injection. Dr. Mario Martano, the auto injection is 1 milligram. The spray is 4 milligrams, and we're going with the higher dose. We've had one carfentanil death here in Kenosha, and that's at Elephant
Tranquilizer.
Thank you, yeah. Tranquilizer, Elephant Tranquilizer. And it's fentanyl that's mixed in, so it's very high dose fentanyl. And so it takes a higher dose of the Narcan to reverse that. The side effects, though, of giving the Narcan, the individual can be combative, and they can also have vomiting occur simultaneously because you're doing a complete reversal in the brain, very sudden jolt to their body from opioid being in there, and then the reversal. So a lot of education is going to go into train-the-trainer kind of aspects of our agencies that we work with so that they can train the participants, and we'll be training the participants also. They could be family, it could be the user. We're just going to try to get 600, at least 600 kits out in our community. So it's a real big push of trying to get as much Narcan out there. So you might start hearing about that. So we're very fortunate to have been selected to participate in this next project. Environmental, they're working with Core Council on Chapter 16 revisions, and that's related to the food distribution license and food and beverage. Environmental also has a new public health tech, Jim Bazette. And also they're working on incorporating a CDC program called NEARS into their food illness protocols. The Family Foundation home visitation program, you've heard about that on a recent presentation. They're really achieving great enrollment numbers and positive health outcomes, and they're way ahead. Our group is way ahead of their peers in the state, those peers that are also participating in this home visitation grant. These are federal funds, McBee funds. Health Department was invited to Aurora Hospital to participate in their 2017 strategic planning process, so I always welcome the opportunity for us to work with our partners. And then currently for staffing, we have two public health nurses to hire. We just had one starting today. And we have two on medical leave, two public health nurses on medical leave now. And then Amanda mentioned about the new program in 2017 that will hire another public health nurse July 1 of 2017, and that will be that first offender working with the DA program, so it's another dedicated position. So Kenosha County really has just taken this opioid addiction full throttle of trying to achieve better outcomes for our population. So we're very grateful for that. And that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, what? Another position coming from Wisconsin PBO.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, that, so it's three.
Yes.
Okay. So you can see we have nurses to hire. Yes,
thank you. At our last Shrum Center board meeting, we directed the executive director to train all our employees in Narcan use, and then the INS program volunteers for the overnight shelter to get them all trained. So that's
awesome.
In the process. I don't know if we bought any Narcan yet. Would it be available through the health department? Or?
Well,
it's not very expensive.
Well, the spray is, we originally quoted about $118 for a two-pack, and now we're hearing $75 per two-pack. The auto injectors are $400 for two.
I thought it was cheaper. Okay.
You can buy it cheaper if you're going to withdraw the medication out of a vial with a needle and syringe, which most people, a layperson, and no, they would not. But that was much cheaper, but we can't distribute it that way to lay people.
The training is not all that difficult either. It's only a couple of sessions.
And that's what Amanda and Gianna will be doing, is training people about, you know, signs and symptoms and exactly what to do. And of course, 911 is first thing. Get emergency medical people there and get that medication in our
camp. My concern was, what if you give it to somebody that is not having opiate?
They'll vomit.
Right.
They'll just, I mean, they'll just get sick. They'll be sicker than, they'll be really sick from the medication. Because again, it's, you know, it's in the brain. It's just causing all those signs and symptoms. So that's part of what they'll be educating people to. Better to give. I mean, if someone's unconscious and they're not sure exactly what's going on, they don't know if it's cardiac, something else. But they suspect because of paraphernalia, or they know they're a known user, and it's a high probability then.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you. John, anything?
Just to indicate that Kenosha County adopted a non-smoking ordinance, and today an email went out to employees about that. There's no smoking in buildings already, but now there's no smoking on campus, you know, on property of the county. I think excepting parks was accepted. And, you know, there were some suggestions for people that do still smoke as far as health that they could get to stop smoking, because with this is going to be increases in health insurance premiums, and you know, ultimately, you know, people could actually get a citation if they I think they're going to be warned if they're, for example, outside the courthouse or this building smoking. But the idea is that we're trying to heavily discourage smoking, and the cost of having employees smoke is one of the things that drove that, but it went to the committee and the county board. So that's something that's occurred recently.
And Karen is sending each of our Board of Health members the announcement that went out to our employees, so you'll get that in your email if you do that.
Is that effective immediately or 2017?
I think it's 2017, but perhaps, do you know?
Well, the premium, the rise in their premiums for those that smoke is from 2017.
Yeah.
It didn't specifically say when the camp is free, but usually that goes along with the budget process.
Mm-hmm. No, I was just wondering in regards to their need and how the health department could help them.
Jacqueline Siraki, our tobacco prevention coordinator, she's going to be doing two presentations, December 1 and December 8th. The first one will be to employees. The second will be to the supervisors of employees that smoke. And she also submitted a whole list of resources. We also discussed with personnel that medication in conjunction with counseling results in the best outcomes for cessation of smoking. So we would encourage people to reach out to their personnel department and to see if there's other options for them to get on EAP, employee assistance, EAP, employee assistance program. And really, if they need the counseling or they can't access it through their insurance, to use that two-prong instead of quit smoking.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other business? Any closing comments from anybody? Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Motion second. All in favor?
Aye.
Everybody's in favor?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for attending.